Blog Talk Radio.
When you learn, you can't time it down, baby doll. Check it out.
I get around.
What you mean you don't know? Check it out.
I get around. I get around.
Stay down with the underground.
I get around.
Hey, yo, son. Got them all snow.
I got a new tune for you. I got a new tune. Hey, everybody, I got a new tune.
That's right. Your favorite crooner, Phil.
Wild Phil.
Oh, yeah. Your favorite crooner, Wild Phil, is back, and he's singing the hits.
Okay.
Some of your favorite songs all together on this one great album.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom.
These American classics have never sounded better.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
By Wild Phil sings the hits wherever fake records are sold.
Welcome. This is Baker Radio. Why don't you tell him how much you don't like his intro song, though, in case you didn't hear.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein. It's the radio happy hour every Tuesday.
Dr. Blockstein.
I'm going to play this song on the air right now.
Hey, we're plugging your
show. I got to say, Zippy, your song makes me cringe.
Mike is so mad about it, Zippy. He sings it in the shower, though. It's like, it's a part of him. It's a part of him.
It's a catchy fucking tune, but I hate it.
You hate it, but he talks about it every day.
It's like singing like a Britney Spears song. Like, I hate
play it, Mike.
Shit,
can you play it?
Well, I got to find it.
And we're plugging Dr. Blockstein's show because you know what? He's really good at what he does.
Hold on.
Yeah, he does.
I got to go to Blog Talk Radio. Then I got to go to Zippy
Dr.
Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein, the radio happy hour.
Hold on.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr. Blockstein.
See, I don't even know what it really sounds like. I just have your interpretation of it, which you know is wrong.
Here's the radio happy hour, Dr. Blockstein. Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, Dr. Blockstein. Dr. Blockstein. Bringing news and moving.
Bringing news.
Alongside the beautiful, sexy Jane.
Hello, what an introduction. Thank you, Blockstein.
A happy new year, Jane.
Happy new year to you.
You began with us in 2007, then
absolutely.
You deserted us for a little bit.
Oh, desert is such a harsh term.
But now you're back and you'll be around, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be around in the new year. I can't stay away from the Radio Happy Hour.
I know you can't. It's not the Radio Happy Hour you can't stay away from. I think it's me.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, you might be right. You never know.
I think there's a magnetic draw between the two of us. We cannot be kept apart.
There's got to be. It's something like that.
Wild horses cannot keep us apart. Dangerous Lee cannot keep us apart.
Absolutely not. Not even Dangerous Lee. And she is one fierce lady.
Well... well, you know, it's New Year's Day, and it is part two of our very special holiday party special.
Uh-huh.
It's a very special special. Did you hear what I just said?
Oh, yeah.
It's not only is it a special, very special special, where we are reliving some of our favorite moments of 2007, that was last year, and
okay.
It just seems like, you know what, time goes so fast, it seems like just yesterday was 2007.
I know, it's so true.
Well, you managed to get away with part one without telling us your favorite moment, but there were just so many favorite moments, we had to add a part two.
I know,
and,
absolutely.
And you can no longer resist.
No, I can't resist at all. I mean, my personal favorite moment of 2007 was when contemporary Christian musician Brian Duncan threw us all for a loop and sang Amy Winehouse's Rehab on the air. It was very, very fun to hear a contemporary Christian musician sing Rehab. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and here's a guy who himself has been through Rehab.
I know,
so he knows-
see?
He knows his way around a 12-step plan, huh?
Yeah, everything is connected. Everybody's connected.
That's right. So let's relive that special moment to make Jane happy. Here's Brian Duncan on the Radio Happy Hour. Enjoy. Happy New Year, Jane.
Happy New Year to you.
Can a good Christian, by definition, be a good rock star?
I think it's a hard thing to be a rock star and a Christian at the same time. At least in your own mind, it's rock stardom kind of suggests a world that revolves around yourself, which is a little closer to narcissism than Christianity.
Can people of all religions enjoy your music?
I think so. You know, at least my stuff, you know, certainly comes from a point of love and. I don't come from a perspective that I have all the answers, or that my opinions, the truth that I've known has been realized by anybody else necessarily, and I certainly have a great deal of respect for other opinions and other faiths.
Would Jesus be a fan of your music?
I kind of hope he is. You know, I feel like he inspires a lot of my songs. And, you know, it's like if somebody said, hey, I wrote a song and you inspired it, hopefully you would be at least honored.
If the rapture was to happen today, where will you be going?
I imagine I would be going to heaven. I believe in the grace of God, and that what Jesus did for me on the cross gives me a ticket in, and it's certainly not because I've lived a really nifty life and I've been a good boy. Because, you know, I've been nothing but my own. Like every human being has the potential to do just awful things. I've certainly been there. I've been in rehab, and I've found ways to medicate my own pain instead of trusting a higher power. And so, you know, I'm hanging on to that scripture that says, you know, if you believe in Christ, you know, he will take you with him.
One last thing. Do you, you see, here's one of the things first of all, I'm glad to hear that you went to rehab. Now you really are a rock star, so it is possible.
Yeah, I do a radio show called Radio Rehab online, and I play mostly music that I like, because just about everybody I know in the music business has been through some kind of thing, because you just don't tour the world and leave any sense of community at home and come out of that unscathed. And there's a lot of ways to medicate pain that aren't real constructive. And, you know, so I've been doing a radio show for the last 3 years on it. I even played that, tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no,
oh, yeah.
No, no.
Amy Winehouse, that's a good song.
Yeah, I love that one. I played it on my show.
Yeah, I love that.
Wow, we got to have Brian Duncan singing live on the air. That's nice.
You sing some Amy Winehouse, which is great.
Wild Bill. Wild Bill.
Email from Phil with his favorite moments. Phil, what moments did you want to hear from the past year?
I want to hear Jane sing again. She sings like an angel, I tell you.
Aw, baby Jane.
Yeah.
All
right, well, I'm going to do this a cappella for you guys. I don't have backup music, so you'll just have to kind of picture this as a bluesy number, all right?
All right, I'm going to picture it in a dim, smoky room.
Very good. That's exactly how it should be sung.
All right.
Okay. Mississippi, in the middle of the dry spell, Jimmy Rogers on the Victrola high. Mama's dancing with baby on her shoulder. The sun is setting like molasses in the sky. The boy could sing, knew how to move everything. Always wanted more. He leave you longing for black velvet and that little boy smile. Black velvet with that slow southern style. A new religion that'll bring it up to your knees. Black velvet, if you please. Up in Memphis, the music's like a heat wave. White lightning bound to drive you wild. Mama's babies in the heart of every schoolgirl. Loving it tenderly, them crying in the aisle. The way you moved, it was a sin, so sweet and true. Always wanting more, he leave you longing for. Black velvet, another little boy's smile. Black velvet with that slow southern style. A new religion that'll bring it up to your knees. Black velvet, if you please. Every word of every song that he sang was for you. In a flash he was gone. It happened so soon. What could you do? I said, black velvet and that little boy smile. Black velvet with that slow southern style. A new religion that'll bring it up to your knees. Black velvet, if you please.
Ah, yes, that angelic voice, Jane. How beautiful. Of course, if you heard last week's part one of this Christmas special, you know I don't go for the angelics. I go for the more devilish moments of 2007. I like the fights, and here's one of the best ones of the year.
Yeah, I've gotten even more cynical lately, so, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
What's led to your extra cynicism?
Seeing the movie Zeitgeist, that actually led to a lot of it, but yeah.
What's Zeitgeist?
Have you seen that?
No.
Well, you have zeitgeistmovie.com. You got to check it out. It deals with Jesus, 9/11, and taxes. So it's very interesting. Check it out.
Jesus, 9/11, and taxes?
Yes. You have to see it to really understand what I'm saying.
I'm trying to figure out how those three combine.
Oh, honey, when you see the movie, you'll figure it out.
Is this one of those conspiracy theories and 9/11 was...
A little bit, but it's not like...
No.
But it's not like it's not backing it up with facts, so...
Please don't tell me you're part of the inside job crew.
The inside job crew, what's that?
9/11 was an inside
job. Oh, honey, please. See the movie. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, are you telling me that 9/11 was an inside job, Dangerously?
Are you telling me it's not?
Oh, my God. This from the woman who believes that O.J. did not kill his wife, huh? You're telling me that...
taking it back to the O.J. trial. Here we go.
I just want to destroy your credibility before you even make your point. You're telling me that the U.S. planned it?
Why is that so unbelievable? What is the government such a wonderful thing? Would the government not do something like that? Have they done so many wonderful things for us that they wouldn't do something so evil?
I mean, I'm just flabbergasted that you would think the government would kill 3,000 people. What did they do? Did the government train the terrorists?
Watch the movie.
It's going to be ridiculous like that other movie. What was it called, Vinny? That other movie that made the rounds?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name. I don't remember it, but I'm sort of saying silent.
Loose Change.
Yeah, was that it? I'm staying silent here, Dangerous, because
well,
I got to tell
you. It's not my show. Say what you want to say.
Vinny, I don't want you to stay silent because this is what you're on the radio. You're not here to stay silent.
I'm sitting here flabbergasted that you could think that even this the administration that was in power at that time, which is still in power, I'm not a big fan of, had anything to do with 9/11. It's just, I'm speechless.
Well, be speechless. All I can say is draw your own conclusions. Watch the movie, draw your own conclusions. If you believe one way, that's your opinion. Big
Phil.
Deal, who cares?
Yo.
Phil, what do you think about all this?
I think anybody who believes that the government did that has been reading too many fiction novels there.
I mean, I got to ask you this, Dangerous, and with all due respect, seriously, if I lived in a country that I truly believed did that, I would get the hell out. What are you doing here?
You gonna pay for me to move?
Well, no, I mean, I'm very serious. If I lived in a country where I think the government is out to get me and could kill me, I would not be here.
Where am I
going? That makes sense to me.
You're not far from me to go?
You're not far from Canada. You could probably drive there.
I could drive a lot of places.
No, but I'm just saying, how could you even live here under a government that perpetrated such a heinous act?
We're all living here.
But
we all don't believe in fairy tales, though.
Well, that's not a fairy tale. That's your opinion.
Mm-mm.
It's like we're
that's
all
only here. Common sense.
Well, like I said, watch the movie and see. All
right. Dangerous, you know how much I love you. I just cannot back you up on this, not even a little.
You don't have to back me up. I didn't ask you to back me up, did I?
You didn't ask, and I'm not going to.
I mean, it's like three against one, so it's like the fellas against the girl. Big deal.
No, that's not what it is. That's what I'm sure I can find a girl to call in and agree with me, and I'm sure there's some wacko guy that can call in and agree with you.
Yeah, that's fine. All that's right. What it's about, baby. It's about opinion.
That is right.
It's about opinions.
It's about opinions and views, right ones and wrong ones. You have the wrong opinion. Okay. My opinion is right. Now you're getting the picture.
No,
okay.
That's your opinion.
Dangerous. Are you upset with me for questioning your theories?
Well, you know what? This is your show, and I'm not going to get into an argument and get argumentative. So I'm biting my tongue.
No.
Listen, I'm not here to be attacked for my opinions or what I think and blah blah blah. I'm not going to do it. I know that this is, you know, a little crazy, a little funny, and all of that. But I'm biting my tongue tonight because I'm not trying
Are
to
you?
Act ignorant on your show. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
You don't want to have you know. No, I'm not arguing. I'm just questioning your opinion, and I do apologize that there isn't anyone else on the line that does agree with it because I don't for the last
you know
thing
what,
I
that,
want to
that's not even a big deal.
I just don't want to gang up on you, but I do disagree, and I don't mean to be disrespectful about it.
And you know what? That's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I mean, when you break it down, who am I?
You're dangerously.
You know what I'm
You're
saying?
Dangerous.
So, big deal. All I'm saying is, for anyone that's open-minded and who gives a damn, watch the movie and make your own decisions. If you don't want to watch it, fine. If you already have an opinion without looking at it, fine. You know? But I don't need to be made to feel like I'm crazy or I'm a fool or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, give me a break.
No,
me a break.
I apologize. But I don't know. It's kind of a dopey opinion, I think.
Yeah,
the opinion
like
is,
you say, that's your opinion, and that's fine, Blockstein. That's fine.
The opinion is dopey. You're not dopey. That's why I'm so upset that that opinion would come out of you.
But it's not necessarily dopey. I mean, the thing about it is you have your way of thinking, and I'm sure millions of other people agree with you. And I'm sure millions of other people who have seen the movie probably agree with the movie. And there are people who see it that don't agree with it. That's what makes the world go round, baby. You know, big deal. Big
All right.
deal.
All right. Yes, Vinny.
Nikki Starr in the chat room saw the movie. She does not agree with Dangerous Lee.
Well, good.
She feels it wasn't true.
She saw
I'm
the
just,
movie. She drew her own opinion.
Well, we talked about right exactly. I'm just filling in a little bit here. And Dr. Anonymous thinks you and Dangerous should hug and make up.
Well, if we could do that in person, yeah, I'd give him a hug. I'm not tripping that tough about it, but, you know.
No, I harbor.
See, this is the thing. People don't allow other people to have their opinion or their views. If you don't agree with the movie, if you don't agree with me, good for you, baby. Do your thing.
Lee, all I said was I just can't buy the premise that the government was involved in that. I know the government is involved in a lot of things, and some of them I agree with, some of them I don't, but the fact I can't see where they would set up and the destruction that was done on 9/11 to garner support to start a war or whatever the reasoning is would have been behind it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't see it either. Listen,
to apologize to me.
I'm not apologizing to you because I think you're dead wrong.
Happy holidays to everyone. This is Vinny Bond. I liked the night that the fake rapper called in. Well, we were waiting for a rap star, and I don't remember which one it was. And some guy called in, and Doc immediately assumed that this was our guest, and had a 20-minute conversation with him before we figured out that he was not the person we thought we were supposed to be talking to.
510, you're on the air.
How you doing, guy?
Hey, what's up? Is this my man?
Man, look, I'm fairly new to this, so y'all have to bear with me right now.
Oh, no problem. We're talking to Spider Loke. Let me play your intro music, all right? You ready? All right.
I'm on the blue mic, standing in the blue booth. Got that blue light blinking on the Bluetooth. Blue water, great big blue sky. Blue royal, all kind of blue fly. Blue boxer sagging in my blue jeans. Blue chucks on, fat lace, blue strings. Got a jacket that's made out of blue fox. Blue locks on the back of my blue rocks. Snoopy blue in the cut with the blue steel. We drink blue bees and pop blue.
Fire Woke, he is a member of G Unit. And don't worry about being new to this. We're new to this too.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what we're doing either.
Okay, that's great. That was some nice lyrics there, man.
That's you, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Betsy, I heard what was being stated in the comment that was made by the gentleman. And I don't know. I'm African-American, quote-unquote. I'm in Oakland, California, son of a Panther, Black Panther. And, you know, the first impression I got was, oh, my God, what the hell? You know, you want to, you know, attack the circumstance emotionally.
Right.
So I suppressed my emotions, and then I started observing, okay, maybe it's a sign that should have came out about those who suppress those type of feelings or who harbor those, you know, those type of views. It's a sign for me in this time that we should be taking heed to people that still are perpetuating these type of behaviors. Now, as far as the flip side to it, I'm also seeing, you know, African Americans come up and speak in reference to rappers and hip hop artists who spew out certain ambiguities, I ain't gonna say ambiguities, but certain comments in reference
right.
to women and race and et cetera and et cetera, that they should stop doing that also. I'm in agreement with that.
Are you?
But
are you?
Yes, I'm in agreement with that, and I'm into hip-hop. I agree that my child shouldn't have to listen to another person because the media is something, it's like a father to them.
Yep.
You know, and I'm a father. I'm with them, but they perpetuate this dumb, silly thing. I'm in Oakland, California, so it's a new hyphy movement and all this thing. I come, he talking about dummy knuckles and all. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You're in private school. You're in private school.
Right, but I mean, don't you have lyrics like that?
No, I have lyrics, but my lyrics are to the contrary of that.
Here's my favorite of your songs. I mean, listening to you, and I was gonna play it at the end of the show, is the G out here.
Right.
Right.
Right. It depends on what definition you have of G.
Well, no, I don't have a problem with G, but the N-word is in it. And the reason I bring that up is because I found myself singing the song.
Right.
And then I caught myself because I can't really, I mean, it's not right for me to say it.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I understand exactly what you're saying.
I do not have a problem with the word being in there. And I do, I'll tell you this. Let me tell you my stance. I know you're the guest on the show, but I want you to know where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Is that I think the difference between what the radio host Imus did
mm-hmm.
and what is in hip-hop music is huge. Imus was referring to specific people as nappy-headed hoes.
Right.
You and other R&B, hip-hop artists are speaking in generalities. You're not calling this one person one thing or another. You're just,
Right.
And I think that's the difference.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, as a woman, I'm thinking that why should anyone ever be called a hoe? Why, as women, are we even subject to this kind of terminology? I mean, shouldn't there just be a whole different consciousness shift? Shouldn't we just shift away from that kind of language?
Right.
Yeah, but there are some women who are prostitutes and are hoes. And if you hear if you listen to the lyrics, hear hoe and think of yourself, that's a problem with your self-image.
I disagree. I mean, I think that, I mean, there's a big double standard with gender anyway in this country. I mean, a woman who has a lot of sex is a hoe. A guy who has a lot of sex, he's a player. You know, where do you draw the line? I mean, you know, I say just try and get rid of all this negativity. I mean, try and respect who you're talking about.
Yeah, the other host, I think he kind of hit it on the nail, not negating what you're saying, that right after that, he also mentioned Jigaboo. So he put it in the same context, you know.
Yeah.
It holds, and you know the Jigaboo do the right thing. So he kind of like really elaborated a little bit, way too much. So
yeah, I mean
that was the point. The picture he was painting. I have a problem with it because it's on the air. You have people hearing that, and it should be stopped. You shouldn't have nobody out there that's blatantly doing things like that. But these rappers, like I said, I'm into hip hop, but I don't. It's certain. Some of them, I mean, I think they're smart, and a lot of them come from areas and neighborhoods that have nice homes and they go to school. They're educated, but I think it's a marketing thing for them, because
mm-hmm.
they know they can, you know, sway certain people from a certain class. And,
right.
And really, the problem is not even in the ghetto no more. The problem is outside the ghetto now, and you will be able to testify to that. That now we have, you know, white children, quote unquote, into hip hop like it's like crack.
Well, yeah, you're right, and
now, you know what I'm saying. And yeah. Now they're the ones that's doing it, so it's like, man, it's out of control.
Yeah, but I mean, it does. But there's also nothing more ridiculous than seeing a white kid from the suburbs calling someone a hoe. There's nothing more ridiculous than seeing a white kid trying to emulate hip hop stars. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. And, you know, when I caught myself singing your lyrics, I mean, it's not a word that rolls off my tongue. That's why I noticed that I was saying it.
You said singing my lyrics?
Yeah.
Oh, so you think I'm that guy?
Who are you?
Who, me? I'm IQ from Oakland, California. I'm a whole total different group, Digital Underground. My brother was in that. So we have two show titles around him. We have the Looney Saga on it. I know all them. I'm from the Bay Area. I'm not from Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm not
you
even talking.
Oh, you thought I was the guy from the game? I mean, from the. I don't know the name of them. I don't keep up with people because I'm
from G. No, you are not Spider Locke.
Oh, you thought it was him?
Well, I don't know. Well, you know, I hear a lesson. I heard a black guy. I thought it was my guest.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your amazing host, Daryl, and I'm so happy to be a part of Dr. Blogstein's holiday special. I want to talk to you guys about some of my favorite Blogstein moments. In fact, I've got several favorite Blogstein moments, and some of the real favorites of mine surround his co-host or ex-co-host or sometimes co-host Jane. I love Jane. I seriously am considering dating and or marrying Jane. However, Jane seems to piss Dr. Blogstein off quite a bit, and it's hysterical to me. One time in particular, Jane admitted that on the days that she's not available to come to the show, that she doesn't even listen to the show. Now, Dr. Blogstein, he tried to let this go. He actually, I think he really put forth effort to try not to even address that, but Dr. Blogstein can't hold anything in, and so after being unable to hold it in any longer, he just kind of asked her, you know, why is it that you can't even listen to the show? Why is it that you seem to be not involved in the show? Do you even want to be here? Type of a conversation. And Jane was quite diplomatic, but there really seemed to be some heat there, some tension there. Dr. Blogstein does not like people who are associated with his show to not take his show seriously. Dr. Blogstein getting annoyed, Dr. Blogstein going ballistic makes for the best radio ever. And I'm hoping that in 2008, you guys continue to piss off Dr. Blogstein so that I can continue to laugh. Dr. Blogstein!
Good evening, everybody. It's Dr. Blockstein's Radio Happy Hour. And what a sight for sore eyes here, back in the studio, together again. It's Jane.
I'm here, but since it's radio, it's more like a sound for sore ears or something like that.
You are a sound for sore ears. I miss you. I miss you so much.
Oh, you did. That's sweet, Blockstein.
It's really not
it's
not the same without you. Dangerously, as you know, filled in beautifully for you. Did you hear those shows?
No, I didn't hear them.
You don't listen when you're not on?
No.
What gift?
Have I offended you in some way?
A little bit. I mean, why are this is still your show, even if you're not there. I would.
Well,
it would be nice if you were interested in it.
Well, I'm interested, but I'm also busy. I'm working. I'm bringing home the bacon. You know, like Mama's got to make some money.
Yeah, but honestly.
Yes.
And by the way, well, there's so much to do today, but you just upset me. How, you know, I want to grow this show. You know,
yeah.
Build the audience.
Uh huh.
How can I get anyone else to listen to the show when I can't even get my co-host to spend an hour listening to it?
Well, I mean, you can make me quit my job and pay me a salary. So,
but
it's
1 hour. Put it on your iPod and listen to it during your commute.
Fair enough. I do love my iPod. I do love that.
Yeah, put it on the iPod. I mean,
all right.
I'm telling people, I'm you know, I want to grow the audience. I'm telling people to listen to the show. Oh, please, it's just an hour, and it's such a good time. And I can't even, and you're too busy. My co-host is too busy to spend an hour listening to when she's not on the show.
Hey, I'm a woman about town, you know? I mean,
I don't care, you know? I bet you Dangerous Lee is listening right now.
Oh, man, do I love those fights. We'll have to get some more of those later. Woo! But what I also love are when guests really open up and are frank and honest and just let loose. And I have to say that over the year, the 2007, the one guest that pops into my mind, and there are a few of them, let's give credit where credit is due, a few of them, Rick Barry, very honest. Who else? Brian Duncan, we heard earlier. He was very honest. But I think Cy Smith, who was one of the backup singers on American Idol, she came to play.
Hey, how many years have you been on the show?
3 seasons. This is my 3rd season.
This is your 3rd. Who's the best singer you sang behind?
Von Zell was really, really good. Von Zell Solomon, season 4. Carrie Underwood was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Anwar Robinson was also really good. I think he was season 4.
Oh, I liked him. I liked Anwar.
Oh, and Phil Stacey from this season. He was
really
awesome. Yeah, he was really a great, great, great singer.
Who did you have to carry the most?
Carry. I would say we'd have to put a lot of support behind. I like to say supporting vocalists. That's what we are. Supporting vocalists. I would say that, you know, we put a lot of support and love on Sanjaya. You know, we tried to give him a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it wasn't that he couldn't carry it himself. It's just that he just needed a little more support in some areas. You know, he had the personality to do it without even opening his mouth, and that's what some people don't understand sometimes.
I think the problem came when he opened his mouth.
But I think that, you know, some people can have really great voices and no personality, and then, you know, there's nothing you can really do. We can't go out there and give them personalities, you know?
Right. You know what? It's funny because that's what I think lacked a lot of this season is personality. I'm not getting the personality. There's no one, you know, last year, you know, Taylor Hicks and I don't think he should have won. Do you think he should have won?
You know, I think Catherine, you know, probably had a chance to win it. I don't know what, I think the Taylor was really smart, though. As soon as he started that season, he branded himself, you know, with the whole Soul Patrol thing and started a movement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And nobody else did that, you know. And you start a brand and you move, you know, you start a movement, everybody wants to be a part of the movement, you know.
I kind of liked McPhee's movement.
Yeah, body movement. She is a pretty girl. Oh my, and she can sing her tail off.
Yeah, is she probably the prettiest contestant that you've sang behind?
Yeah, you know, she and Nadia. Do you remember Nadia from season 4?
No.
She was top 12. A sister from I think Florida. She was really, really pretty too.
Who was the least attractive contestant that you sang
behind? Oh. I don't even know. I can't answer that.
Sure you can. It's really just us on the line.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, you know who I thought was cute that probably not everybody would think is really cute?
Who's
I thought Sundance was really cute.
Really?
I thought he was so cute. I just wanted to eat him up.
Wild Bill. Wild Bill. The other one is I want to hear Waleed Shubat on there, your interview you did with him.
Oh, that's another one that didn't stop talking.
Yeah, that guy couldn't stop talking, the Palestinian terrorist, yeah. He was interesting, but that was a very different show than we usually do, wasn't it, Phil?
Yeah, it was, but it was
interesting.
That was
a little serious, wasn't it?
It was a little serious, but you know what? It kept Phil awake.
Yeah, it did. It kept me awake because I like learning new things.
So let me get back to the 72 Virgins because that's clearly what I'm focused on. Now, the bomber dies, goes to paradise, and there he gets the 72 Virgins.
No, he gets 72.
In the 72 houses, in the 72 beds, there are 72 virgins, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happens when, I guess the goal is to have sex with these virgins. Do they replace the virgin so he always has 72?
Well, what happens is that the virgin, as soon as he consummates your rights with her, she will turn back to be a virgin again. I call them Ziploc virgins.
Wow.
I agree with what Jane said. Wow. Ziploc virgins. That's funny. Very funny. Even made page 6 in the New York Post after it aired. Classic Blogstein. One of our listeners, Kristen West, who goes by KB in the chat room, say KB in the chat room, also requested that Ziploc virgin clip. She's of the belief that their Radio Happy Hour has a hidden agenda to educate the public on current events. She said so in an email she sent to me with her pics.
Kristen, you're right about the hidden agenda, but it's not to educate the public on current events. It's to overthrow Fidel Castro in Cuba. Viva la revolucion! Yeah. KB also enjoyed hearing Vince Flynn. He's the number one best-selling thriller writer. A man who goes on the O'Reilly Factor to talk about the threat of Iran being a nuclear country, and goes on Glenn Beck talking about how terrorism and Islamic fundamentalism is a huge threat. Macho man. Discussing fake orgasms. Vince Flynn is the New York Times bestselling author of so many books, from the Mitch Rapp series. His new one comes out on Tuesday. That's next week. It's Tuesday, the 30th of October. It's called Protect and Defend. Vince, thank you for gracing us with your presence in the Radio Happy Hour.
David, thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and you know what?
I'm sorry I missed out on the orgasm part of the conversation.
We were discussing faking them, actually. Have you come into, has there ever been a situation where an orgasm has been faked?
There have been times where I have faked an orgasm, yes, that's correct.
Have you really?
No, it's impossible for a guy to fake an orgasm.
It's not, believe it or not, it's not.
How? I'd like to know. The guy must have volume issues if he can fake an orgasm. Put it simply.
Well, but you can't, I mean, I don't know, if you're wearing a condom.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. And then you get out, you leave the bedroom, and the gal doesn't know what, you know, you somehow flush it down the toilet, which the water department does not appreciate. I suppose that's possible, yes.
It can be done. So you will
not
go
under... You're talking to an Irish Catholic kid. Birth control has never been my deal. It's not part of the equation. But women, you know, I had a gal once who used to do it and found out later, and basically 1 month later we were done. I figured
really?
You're going to lie to me. I agreed with your guess, by the way, which any woman you want to be with is going to tell you, hey, little to the left, slow to the right, you know, slow down, speed up. But any gal who's going to fake it, you know, don't insult me.
That's a good point, because the first guest brought up, it was before you got on the line, but the first guest said that some women do it because they want to just go to sleep already. But that's not good for, you're not going to have a relationship with that woman.
You know what I like to tell my wife? I like to look at her and I say, all right, honey, you know what? I'm really not in the mood, so let's make this quick.
Hey, Jane.
Yes.
French fries.
I do want to thank you because you did introduce me to one of my new favorite television shows.
Oh, yeah. I knew that you would love this one.
Yeah, on your recommendation, I started watching Mad Men. You ever watch that Mad Men show on AMC?
Play some
Vinny?
Skinner, man.
I love Mad Men.
Yeah, me too. I love it too.
And I think I mentioned on Jane's blog that my dad was in advertising. And I used to go to his office, and it was very much like that. And when I first got into the business back in the early 70s, we had a beer machine on our floor. And at 5 o'clock, my vendors used to come in and buy beers, and I would pull out a bottle of Jack Daniels, and we'd start. Now, we didn't start early in the morning, but at 5 o'clock, we'd start in the office.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that show is so... It's, first of all, I told you this weekend, Jane, it's delightfully sexist. I wasn't around.
No, that's wrong. That's juvenile and wrong. It's not delightfully fucking sexist. Like, I mean, hello. Like, this is, like, the year 2007, Dr. Blackstein. I'm sick of it. Like, it's not delightfully sexist. It's, like, horribly sexist. Everybody on the Television Without Pity message boards, everybody on the message boards says that the racism, the sexism is the most difficult part of the show to watch, yet you seem to enjoy it. I don't know why.
It kind of makes me, and it's a horrible thing to say, so don't shoot me, but it kind of makes me, wait a second, I think our guest is calling me on the cell phone.
But, you know, Jane, yes, it is very sexist.
Yeah.
No, but it, I know,
but,
it's horrible.
But it was like that. That
know,
was the
that,
time, and
It's very. I think it's a very accurate depiction of what was going on during those times.
And that's what I think so too. And I think it's totally accurate. What I'm taking issue with is the fact that Dr. Blagstein finds it delightfully sexist, which I feel a little disturbing.
Well, look, it's television. It's escapism. It's fantasy. I kind of think it would be.
So your fantasy is subjugating women?
No, not subjugating women, but in a world where you hire assistants to be your playthings, I find it interesting.
Uh-huh.
I just, it's not like I would ever,
hire an assistant to be your plaything.
Now, this is Danger again, and another one of my favorite moments had to be when we were talking about crotch shots or whatnot. Yeah, I believe Justin had a ball with that one. Listen.
I still can't get over that young lady that she says that her crotch was photographed.
Yes.
And she knows that somebody, I mean, it's like Jungle Boogie. She knows someone is going to expose her. Now, when she got her crotched photograph, didn't she know that would happen? I mean, why do people get their crotches photographed? I'm not.
Well, I can only answer for myself, and I get my crotch photographed.
Oh, really?
Because I have a mural on my wall.
And
what's that? Oh,
your crotch. That's bizarre. Even I don't think I could take that. What is your
I've gone too far for you.
What does your panel think about crotch photographs?
Vinny, have you had your crotch photographed, and why?
Not today.
Because
the opportunity hasn't arisen.
And I know that Phil has gotten his crotch photographed because it's that area that's very tender.
Phil, your tender crotch, have you had photographs of it?
Tender.
Oh, I know this in my youth. I remember this one chick. She loved getting my crotch photographed.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Just think about that, Phil. Get up and start disco dancing again.
Phil, are there, if we search hard enough, not that I want to find it, but are there nude pictures of you out there?
Yeah, there might be.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
I may have to offer a prize to any listener that can send one in.
Well, I think you should have a contest for your best listener with the best crotch.
All right.
I think everybody should email their crotch photos,
goodness.
You know, and the one that gets
this is an exclusive Dr. Blockstein contest.
And the one who you have to have a panel of judges. And
would you like to be one of the judges?
Sure, I'll be one of the judges. But the pictures better not crash my computer, okay?
Okay.
So they've got to be black and white or color. They've got to be.
Is there another option?
What's the other option?
They have to be a JPEG, not a TIFF.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they definitely have to have enough light and exposure so that you could see the part of the crotch that you're dealing with.
And we're Justin, are we going hair or hairless?
We're getting back to the jungle now, the jungle show. That's totally up to the person because, you know, every like a crotch, everybody's personality is different. So your crotch is different.
It also depends upon the mood too.
Are you talking about from personal experience,
Phil? What mood are you in right now?
Oh, I'm in a good mood.
Hmm.
That's the best mood to be in. To have.
I agree.
Well, I think that if men shave their crotches, they're going to get razor bumps, so it's not even worth it.
I hear you.
I didn't think that was the thing to do.
Well,
the more hair, the better.
Well, at one time, it was really less. Less is best.
Right.
But now it's let it all grow. It's back to the 60s.
Well,
I
say keep it tame. You know, trim it up, make it look good, you know.
Well, that's
very
resilient of you.
Put little curly mustaches and stuff on it. No.
I think we should see your crotch, my darling.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Let it all hang out.
Yeah, it'll be hanging, all right.
And everybody must, if you're going to be waxed, do it. Do it first or do before and after. Maybe we should do it a before and after.
Okay.
A crotch makeover.
That will be
a crotch makeover.
We could call it the muff shot.
And Dr. Blockstein is the muff protector.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, you know, the weather is as turbulent as this conversation.
You always know how to segue right back to the weather.
Well, on that note, if we got a little bit of time left, I want to remind you, next week we're all new, all live, back together again, January 8th, that's Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, we have Summer Glau, the hot sci-fi actress who is going to be starring in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles on Fox, and also a great band, Edible Red. Colette is the lead singer, she'll be joining us. Google Edible Red, listen to their music, I guarantee they will be making it huge in 2008. All right, what I'm going to leave you with now is a clip from our very first program. It's historical, it's hysterical, and it's also the first time we ever meet Phil. What more can you want? See you next week.
Dr. Blockstein. Hey, how you doing, Doc?
Hey.
This is Phil here. You seen me on Tish's site there.
Yeah, Phil, have you been drinking?
No, I'm just in a good mood.
He's just jovial.
Yes, that's right. And glad to meet you, Jane.
Nice to meet you too.
Yes, you're the one that keeps the doc in line. That's good.
Oh, you bet. It's a tough job.
What kind of image do people have of me that I got to be kept in line?
You're just running wild. You're running all over the place. You need a voice of reason.
Well, Phil, you are lucky because you're going to be on the phone right now while we go through our. We promised to tell a couple stories. I was going to tell one. Jane was going to tell one. We put five possible endings on our website.
Yes.
Four of them are made up. One is true.
Right.
It's a
fun game.
It is fun. Jane, you want to go first? You read off your five. Phil and I will guess which one we think are real, and then you'll tell your story. How about that, Phil, huh?
That's terrific.
All right, go ahead, Jane.
All right, well, these are the five possible endings to my story tonight. Number one, I mean, who does Mandy Patinkin think he is? Number two, after annoying everyone in our friend group, several professors, and her own parents, my friend Leslie had managed to annoy even John Stamos.
The crowd loves it every time you say John Stamos.
I know, it's great. All right, number three. So if I had to sum up this life lesson, it would go something like this. Dried concrete, proceed. Freshly poured concrete, avoid. Number four, I stood on the sidewalk saying, I swear I don't know her, officer. She is so not my sister. Nuh-uh, no way. Take her downtown. And he actually did. My parents were none too pleased when they got the call early that morning. And number five, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, actually. So then he said, don't worry. This stays between you, me, and the Sealy Posturepedic. I know. A little saucy. A little saucy tonight.
So, Phil, which one do you think is the real ending to the story that Jane is about to tell us?
Let's see here. I would say it's the last one.
Oh, really?
I love saucy stories.
So do I.
I'll remember that for the future, y'all.
So do I. I kind of want it to be the last one. I know I said I wanted it to be the last one, but I'm going to guess that the true story is number three, the dried concrete scenario.
Really?
Jane, why don't you tell us the story?
All right, well, this is the story, and I think, by the way I started, it's already going to give it away which one it is, but one of the first times I came to New York City, because I blog in New York City, I love New York City, this is a great place to be, I decided to go see a Broadway show with my friend Leslie, and it was a show called Cabaret, and the person in the lead role was John Stamos. All right?
Stop laughing at John Stamos. All right, go on.
Cabaret, you guys, is not for the faint of heart. They've got some really dirty humor. There's simulated sex. There's girl-on-girl action. There's guy-on-guy action. And so afterward, you know, it was a great show. Afterward, my friend Leslie and I decided that we would go backstage to get John Stamos' autograph because, hello, what could be better than John Stamos' autograph? And so we went backstage, My friend Leslie is an annoying girl, you know. She's one of those people that you're not really sure if you can take out because you're not sure what she's going to say to people.
Uh-oh.
Well, the same thing went for John Stamos. And John Stamos finally came out, and he looked great. He was nice to everybody. He walked along the line signing everybody's programs. My friend Leslie said, "Hey, John, so where's your wife tonight?" And, you know, this was a pretty good question because Rebecca Romaine, as we all know, was married to John Stamos, and, you know, mm-hmm. she still was at the time. And John Stamos said, "Oh, well, you know, she's shooting X-Men 2. She couldn't be here." And that was fine enough. And then my friend Leslie said, "So she doesn't mind all the homosexual stuff in the play?"
Oh, my God.
And I am visibly just melting into the sidewalk. John Stamos is taken aback. He has no idea what to say. He has no idea what to say to my friend Leslie. All that he can do is kind of vaguely wave his hand and say, "She's fine with it." And that is the story of, after annoying everyone in her life, my friend Leslie even annoyed John Stamos.
Yeah, we were wrong, Phil.
Yes, we were.
But you have another chance, because I'm about to tell a story.
All right.
And
wait.
The story is going to end with one of these five endings. First, A, let me tell you, the elderly do not have good aim. B, we barely made it a block before they realized that nobody knew me, and I clearly did not belong in the limo. Johnny Damon did the honors of kicking me out. He wasn't gentle. C, it's now 5 years later, and they still really believe that the dog ran away.
Oh.
D, so essentially, if I hadn't stopped him from placing that bet, I could have avoided a two-week hospital stay and a $500 parking ticket. Or E, it wasn't until I paid that I noticed the Adam's apple.
Oh, Lordy.
Phil? How is my story going to end?
I would say the fourth one there, D.
Placing the bet, huh?
Yes.
Jane?
I think that's my guess, too.
You're all going with the fact that if I hadn't stopped him from placing the bet, I could have avoided a two-week hospital stay and a $500 parking ticket.
That's right. I just don't want it to be the dog one.
Well, the story I'm about to tell happened back in college. I was 19 years old. And we were going to a fraternity party in the middle of the woods. It was in the middle of nowhere. They actually had school buses that they rented out to bring people from campus into the woods. And we were drinking, and there was music, and there was bonfires. It was a lot of fun. It was in the middle of nowhere, or so we thought. But apparently we were loud enough that there were some neighbors somewhere. They called the cops. The cops come out to the middle of nowhere, and this is like in like a really hicky part of town, so these are sheriffs and Roscoe P. Coltrane cops, and there was a whole bunch of underage drinking going on. I was 19,
hey,
and I was part of that.
No.
So what they did was they lined everybody up to get back on the bus. The cops sat in the bus driver's seat and administered breathalyzer tests to everybody. They checked IDs. So I'm on the back of the line, and people are throwing out all these crazy theories of how to beat a breathalyzer test. Dirt. So I'm shoveling dirt into my mouth or sucking on a penny. I'm sucking on a disgusting penny. I went to the back of the line. It took forever to get to me. I figured by then I'm going to blow nothing, especially after sucking on a penny. So I blow, and I blow drunk. And they check my ID, and I'm 19, so I get some kind of summons, and I have to go to an alcohol class, and I have to serve community service. So I do my alcohol class, and my community service is cleaning an old age home. The worst part of the whole thing was cleaning the bathrooms. It smelled so bad because the elderly do not have that good of aim.
Oh, no! Oh, Block Scene.
I love that one.
you like that, Phil? You like... have you done community service before, Phil?
Yeah, I have.
What'd you do?
Well, you see them there guys that go along with them orange things on there picking up trash?
Yeah.
I've done that before.
What'd you do to deserve that?
Or are you going to have to plead the fifth?
Come on, it's just between us.
Well, yeah, but everybody else listening.
No one listens to this.
Sure.
Phil, how about you tell us next time?
Oh, that would be better, yes.
All right, you tell us next time, because you know what? You're lucky. You're saved by the bell. We're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Phil, thank you.
I had a lot of fun.
I'm glad you called in. You got to call in again, because you're actually fun. I like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Dr. Mustang.